Chapter 142. Of wine glasses, they were quite amiable. Betsy, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, filling her own glass and passing the teapot, I will now propagate toast. My frequent partner, Betsy Prigg. Apostrophe apostrophe, which, altering the name to Sarah Gamp, I drink, apostrophe said Mrs. Prigg, with love and tenderness. Apostrophe, from this moment symptoms of inflammation began to lurk in the nose of each lady, and perhaps, notwithstanding all appearances to the contrary, in the temper also. Now, Sarah, apostrophe said Mrs. Prigg, joining business with pleasure, what is this case in which you want me? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp betraying in her face some intention of returning an evasive answer, Betsy added. Is it Mrs. Harris? Apostrophe apostrophe, no, Betsy Prigg, it ain't, apostrophe was Mrs. Gamp's reply. Well, apostrophe apostrophe said Mrs. Prigg, with a short laugh. I'm glad of that, at any rate. Apostrophe, why should you be glad of that, Betsy? Apostrophe apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp retorted, warmly. She is unbeckoned to you except by hearsay, why should you be glad? If you have anything to say contrary to the character of Mrs. Harris, which well I knows behind her back, afore her face, or anywheres, is not to be impeached, out with it, Betsy. I have knowed that sweetest and best of women, apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, shaking her head, and shedding tears, ever since afore her first, which Mr. Harris, who was dreadful timid, went and stopped his ears in a empty dog kennel, and never took his hands away, or come out once till he was showed the baby, when being took with fits, the doctor collared him, and laid him on his back upon the airy stones, and she was told to ease her mind, his owls was organs. And I have knowed her, Betsy Prigg, when he has heard her feelin' art, by saying of his ninth, that it was one too many, if not two, while that dear innocent was cooling in his face, which thrive it did though bandy, but I have never knowed as you had occasion to be glad, Betsy, on accounts of Mrs. Harris not requiring you. Require she never will, depend upon it, for her constant words in sickness is, and will be, send for Sari? Apostrophe, during this touching address, Mrs. Prigg adroitly feigning, to be the victim of that absence of mind which has its origin in excessive attention to one topic, helped herself from the teapot without appearing to observe it. Mrs. Gamp observed it, however, and came to a premature close in consequence. Well, it ain't her, it seems, apostrophe said Mrs. Prigg, coldly. Who is it then? Apostrophe apostrophe, you have heard me mention, Betsy, apostrophe Mrs. Gamp replied, after glancing in an expressive and marked manner at the teapot, a person as I took care on at the time as you and me was partners off and on, in that there fever at the bull? Apostrophe apostrophe, old snuffy, apostrophe Mrs. Prigg observed. Sarah Gamp looked at her with an eye of fire, for she saw in this mistake of Mrs. Prigg, another willful and malignant stab at that same weakness or custom of hers, an ungenerous allusion to which, on the part of Betsy, had first disturbed their harmony that evening. And she saw it still more clearly, when, politely but firmly correcting that lady by the distinct enunciation of the word chuffy, apostrophe Mrs. Prigg received the correction with a diabolical laugh. The best among us have their failings, and it must be conceded of Mrs. Prigg, that if there were a blemish in the goodness of her disposition, it was a habit she had of not bestowing all its sharp and acid properties upon her patients as a thoroughly amiable woman would have done, but of keeping a considerable remainder for the service of her friends. Highly pickled salmon, and lettuces chopped up in vinegar, may, as viands possessing some acidity of their own, have encouraged and increased this failing in Mrs. Prigg, and every application to the teapot certainly did, for it was often remarked of her by her friends, that she was most contradictory when most elevated. It is certain that her countenance became about this time derisive and defiant, and that she sat with her arms folded, and one eye shut up, in a somewhat offensive, because obtrusively intelligent, manner. Mrs. Gamp observing this, felt it the more necessary that Mrs. Prick should know her place and be made sensible of her exact station in society, as well as of her obligations to herself. She therefore assumed an air of greater patronage and importance, as she went on to answer Mrs. Prick a little more in detail. "Mr. Chuffey, Betsy," apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, "is weak in his mind. Excuse me if I makes remark that he may neither be so weak as people thinks, nor people may not think he is so weak as they pretends. And what I knows, and what you don't, so do not ask me, Betsy. But Mr. Chuffey's friends has made propagules for his being took care on, and has said to me, 'Mrs. Gamp, will you undertake it?' We couldn't think, they says, of trusting him to nobody but you, for, Sari, you are gold as has passed the furniture. Will you undertake it, at your own price, day and night, and by your own self?" "No," I says, "I will not. Do not reckon on it. There is," I says, "but one creature in the world as I would undertake on such terms, and her name is Harris. But," I says, "I am acquainted with a friend, whose name is Betsy Prigg, that I can recommend, and will assist me. Betsy," I says, "is always to be trusted under me, and will be guided as I could desire." Apostrophe here Mrs. Prigg, without any abatement of her offensive manner, again counterfeited abstraction of mind, and stretched out her hand to the teapot. It was more than Mrs. Gamp could bear. She stopped the hand of Mrs. Prigg with her own, and said, with great feeling, "No, Betsy. Drink fair, whatever you do." Apostrophe, Mrs. Prigg, thus baffled, threw herself back in her chair, and closing the same eye more emphatically, and folding her arms tighter, suffered her head to roll slowly from side to side, while she surveyed her friend with a contemptuous smile. Mrs. Gamp resumed. "Mrs. Harris, Betsy apostrophe, bother Mrs. Harris. Apostrophe apostrophe," said Betsy Prigg. Mrs. Gamp looked at her with amazement, incredulity, and indignation, when Mrs. Prigg, shutting her eyes still closer, and folding her arms still tighter, uttered these memorable and tremendous words. "I don't believe there's no sich a person." Apostrophe apostrophe, after the utterance of which expressions, she leaned forward, and snapped her fingers once, twice, thrice, each time nearer to the face of Mrs. Gamp, and then rose to put on her bonnet, as one who felt that there was now a gulf between them, which nothing could ever bridge across. The shock of this blow was so violent and sudden, that Mrs. Gamp sat staring at nothing with uplifted eyes, and her mouth open, as if she were gasping for breath, until Betsy Prigg had put on her bonnet and her shawl, and was gathering the latter about her throat. Then Mrs. Gamp rose morally and physically rose and denounced her. "What? Apostrophe apostrophe," said Mrs. Gamp, "you beige creeter, have I knowed Mrs. Harris 35 year, to be told at last, that there ain't no such a person livin'? Have I stood her friend in all her troubles, great and small, for it to come at last, to such a end as this, which her own sweet picter hanging up before you all the time, to shame your brazen words? But well you mayn't believe there's no such a creature, for she wouldn't demean herself to look at you, and often as she said, when I have made mention of your name, which, to my sinful sorrow, I have done, what, Sari Gamp? Debit yourself to her. Go along with you. Apostrophe, I may go in, ma'am, ain't I? Apostrophe apostrophe," said Mrs. Prigg, stopping as she said it. "You had better, ma'am," apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp. "Do you know who you're talking to, ma'am?" Apostrophe apostrophe inquired her visitor. "Appearingly," apostrophe said Mrs. Gamp, surveying her with scorn from head to foot, "to Betsy Prigg. Appearingly so. I know her. No one better. Go along with you." Apostrophe apostrophe, and you was a goin' to take me under you. Apostrophe apostrophe, cried Mrs. Prigg, surveying Mrs. Gamp from head to foot in her turn. "You was you? Oh, how kind. Why, deuce take your imprints," apostrophe said Mrs. Prigg, with a rapid change from banter to ferocity, "what do you mean? Apostrophe apostrophe, go along with you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Camp. I blush for you. Apostrophe, you had better blush a little for yourself, while you are about it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Prig. You and your chuffies. What, the poor old creature isn't mad enough, isn't he? Aha! Apostrophe, he'd very soon be mad enough, if you had anything to do with him, apostrophe, said Mrs. Camp. And that's what I was wanted for, is it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Prig, triumphantly. Yes. But you'll find yourself deceived. I won't go near him. We shall see how you get on without me. I won't have nothing to do with him. Apostrophe, you never spoke a truer word than that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Camp. Go along with you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she was prevented from witnessing the actual retirement of Mrs. Prick from the room, notwithstanding the great desire she had expressed to behold it, by that lady, in her angry withdrawal, coming into contact with the bedstead, and bringing down the previously mentioned pippins, three or four of which came rattling on the head of Mrs. Camp so smartly, that when she recovered from this wooden shower bath, Mrs. Prig was gone. She had the satisfaction, however, of hearing the deep voice of Betsy, proclaiming her injuries and her determination to have nothing to do with Mr. Chuffy, down the stairs, and along the passage, and even out in Kingsgate Street. Likewise of seeing in her own apartment, in the place of Mrs. Prig, Mr. Sweetlepipe and two gentlemen. Why, bless my life! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the little barber, what's amiss? The noise you ladies have been making, Mrs. Camp! Why, these two gentlemen have been standing on the stairs, outside the door, nearly all the time, trying to make you hear, while you were pelting away, hammer and tongs. It'll be the death of the little bullfinch in the shop, that draws his own water. In his fright, he's been a-straining himself all to bits, drawing more water than he could drink in a 12-month. He must have thought it was fire. Apostrophe, Mrs. Camp had in the meanwhile sunk into her chair, from whence, turning up her overflowing eyes, and clasping her hands, she delivered the following lamentation. Oh, Mr. Sweetlepipes, which Mr. Westlock also, if my eyes do not deceive, and a friend not having the pleasure of being beckoning, what I have took from Betsy Prick this blessed night, no mortal creature knows. If she had abused me, being in liquor, which I thought I smelt her when she come, but could not so believe, not being used myself, Mrs. Camp, by the way, was pretty far gone, and the fragrance of the teapot was strong in the room, I could have bore it with a thankful heart. But the words she spoke of Mrs. Harris, lambs could not forgive. No, Betsy, apostrophe, said Mrs. Camp, in a violent burst of feeling, nor worms forget. Apostrophe, apostrophe, the little barber scratched his head, and shook it, and looked at the teapot, and gradually got out of the room. John Westlock, taking a chair, sat down on one side of Mrs. Camp. Martin, taking the foot of the bed, supported her on the other. You wonder what we want, I dare say, apostrophe, observed John. I'll tell you presently, when you have recovered. It's not pressing, for a few minutes or so. How do you find yourself? Better? Apostrophe, Mrs. Camp shed more tears, shook her head and feebly pronounced Mrs. Harris's name. Have a little apostrophe, John was at a loss what to call it. Tea, apostrophe, suggested Martin. It ain't tea, apostrophe, said Mrs. Camp. Physic of some sort, I suppose, apostrophe, cried John. Have a little. Apostrophe, Mrs. Camp was prevailed upon to take a glassful. On condition, apostrophe, she passionately observed, as Betsy never has another stroke of work from me. Apostrophe, certainly not, apostrophe, said John. She shall never help to nurse me. Apostrophe, to think, apostrophe, said Mrs. Camp, as she should ever have helped to nurse that friend of yourn, and been so near of hearing things that are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, John looked at Martin. Yes, apostrophe, he said. That was a narrow escape, Mrs. Camp. Apostrophe, narrer, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, she returned. It was only my having the night, and hearing of him in his wanderings, and her the day, that saved it. What would she have said and done, if she had known what I know, that perfidious wretch? Yet, oh good gracious me! Apostrophe, cried Mrs. Camp, trampling on the floor, in the absence of Mrs. Prigg, that I should hear from that same woman's lips, what I have heard her speak of Mrs. Harris. Apostrophe, apostrophe, never mind, apostrophe, said John. You know it is not true. Apostrophe, isn't true. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Camp. True. Don't I know as that dear woman is expecting of me at this minute, Mr. Westlock, and is a looking out of window down the street, with little Tommy Harris in her arms, as calls me his own gammy, and truly calls, for bless the mottled little legs of that there precious child like Canterbury Brawn his own dear father says, which so they are, his own I have been, ever since I found him, Mr. Westlock, with his small red worsted shoe a gurgling in his throat, where he had put it in his play, a chick, while they was leaving of him on the floor a looking for it through the house and him a choking sweetly. In the parlor. Oh, Betsy Prigg, what wickedness you've showed this night, but never shall you darken Sari's doors again, you twining serpent. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you were always so kind to her too. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said John, consolingly. That's the cutting part. That's where it hurts me, Mr. Westlock, apostrophe, Mrs. Gamp replied, holding out her glass unconsciously, while Martin filled it. Chosen to help you with Mr. Lewsom, apostrophe, apostrophe, said John. Chosen to help you with Mr. Chuffy, apostrophe, apostrophe, chose once, but chose no more, apostrophe, cried Mrs. Gamp. No partnership with Betsy Prigg again, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe, said John. That would never do. Apostrophe, I don't know as it ever would have done, sir, apostrophe, Mrs. Camp replied, with a solemnity peculiar to a certain stage of intoxication. Now that the marks, apostrophe, by which Mrs. Camp is supposed to have meant mask, is off that creature's face, I do not think it ever would have done. There are reagents in families for keeping things a secret, Mr. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.